Please turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs, the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, and chapter 28, please. Proverbs chapter 28, and begin to read together from verse number 1. Proverbs 28, reading together, please, from verse number 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Let's hear the word of God, please. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that have understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We'll end our reading there, verse number 13. And we know God will bless the public reading of his word. That is our text. Verse number 13 of chapter 28. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. With our Bibles open, let's just bow our heads before the Lord. And again, let's take a moment here, still our souls before God. We're fully aware that we need the Lord to draw near in this meeting. And if you're here again, and I say it, if you're saved, then you pray with me. Let's all pray together. In a gospel meeting, we are in a battle for souls. The devil seeks to resist and hinder dear people from coming to Christ, so let's all pray together here. And let's seek the face of God and draw near as one now unto the Lord. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for these moments afforded to us to draw near to thy throne. And how we thank thee for Jesus, the lover of our soul. We thank thee for the one who loves us today. He'll love us tomorrow and he'll love us forever. We thank thee for what we have in Christ. We thank thee for all in this meeting whose sins are forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. And how we bless thee for that marvelous work of redemption and the cross of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee it's still the sinner's refuge here below, the angel's theme in heaven above. We thank thee for the blood that was shed that cleanses from all sin. We thank thee for that precious blood by which we overcome the devil. And Lord, we plead it just now over the gathering. We stand by faith into the victory of the cross. We plead the blood against all the operating and powers of darkness. We pray that over this gathering, the hand of God Almighty will be made bare. We'll know movings of the Holy Ghost. Father, I lay my life again before thee. I confess before heaven's throne and this gathered congregation my complete bankruptcy, my inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I lay my life before God, empty it now of self and sin. Wash me from sin in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power. And extend that blessed kingdom of Christ, that kingdom of God and of grace. Extend it by gathering souls into it. And may sinners in this meeting prepare for heaven and home. We cry in Jesus' name. Amen. It was Solomon, the son of David, who wrote this book of Proverbs. Without doubt, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived on this earth. His name means peace. Why was he the wisest man that ever lived on earth? Well, he was that wisest man, for God gave him his wisdom. It was on a night when Solomon had received the throne from David his father, and Solomon was now the king of Israel. And God appeared to Solomon, the Bible tells us. He appeared to him in Gibeah, and there he asked Solomon a question. What shall I give thee? That night's affairs are recorded for us twice in Scripture. 1 Kings 3 and 2 Chronicles 1. Yes, the new king, there he is. And God appears to him in a dream and says, what shall I give thee? To which Solomon replied, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And what's more, the people I rule over are more than can be numbered for multitude. Therefore, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Give me wisdom and give me knowledge. The Bible tells us that the thing that Solomon asked for pleased the Lord. And Solomon, or God, not only gave him wisdom, but gave him many more great gifts. Gave him many great blessings, because the thing that he asked for pleased the Lord. What wisdom he gave him. A wisdom that enabled him to build the temple. A wisdom that the Queen of Sheba marveled at when she came and visited Solomon. In fact, our own history books tell us of our own nation that when Queen Victoria came to the throne of England as a young woman, Lord Melbourne came to her, opened the Bible at 1 Kings 3, and read to her of the dream that God gave Solomon, the night that Solomon asked for wisdom, and instructed the new Queen of England to ask of God the same thing for her task. But it is tonight too, this book of Proverbs that Solomon penned under inspiration of God, that I want to turn your attention. And to verse 13, as I've already said, of Proverbs chapter 28, words of Solomon penned under inspiration of God. And sinner, I want you to hear it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I want to speak tonight quite simply on the concealing of sin, the way to hell, the confession of sin, the way to heaven. The concealing of sin, the way to hell. The confession of sin, the way to heaven. The first thing I want to show you is this, that the concealing of sin has a history. The concealing of sin has a history. You see, from the moment that man fell in the Garden of Eden, man has always sought to cover their sin. They've always sought to conceal it. The word cover of in our text, that's what it means. It means conceal. No sinner had Adam fallen in the Garden of Eden, then he immediately began to cover his sin. He immediately began to hide it and hide from God. In fact, I just want to turn there right now, Genesis chapter 3. Because look, I want you to gaze with me upon the first sinner and the first sin. Because this subject of concealing sin and hiding sin and covering sin, men and women, it is as old as sin itself. The minute man fell, it's the mark of a fallen nature. It's the mark of a fallen race. Look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6. Look at those final words. And he did eat. There's his sin. There's his disobedience. There's his rebellion. There's his treason. That's what it was. And verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together. There they began to try and conceal it, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Oh, look at the words. Once he walked in communion with God. Once he walked with God. And now he hides himself from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" The Lord's bringing the first sinner to account for his sin. It wasn't that the Lord was ignorant of where Adam was. He's bringing them to account. "Where art thou, Adam? What have you done, Adam? What have you done to my law, Adam? What have you done to every future generation, Adam? Where art thou, Adam?" Dear sinner, understand this. This carry on, because that's what it is, of covering sin is as old as sin itself. But listen, the question comes out tonight from this pulpit, from God Almighty, to every unsaved sitting now before me: where art thou? Where art thou? It's not a physical question. It's a spiritual question. Where are you before your Creator? Where are you before God tonight? That's what God was saying to Adam. Adam, where art thou? What have you done? You've broken my law. Let me ask it another way, sinner. How long have you been covering your sin? How long have you lived without Christ? That's how long you've covered it. Some of you are young. Some of you are old. Some of you have covered it for years. Concealed it. Try to forget about it. Oh, the covering of sin is a history. It's as old as sin itself. Where art thou? Man and woman, where art thou? Forget about the preacher. I said that before. God is addressing you. As he addressed Adam in the garden as they hid among the trees because they had sinned. They were guilty of high treason. They were guilty of rebellion. They were guilty of awful wickedness. And God says, "Where art thou?" Sinner, where art thou tonight? This history of concealing sin. Let me show you something else about it. Go back to your text, Proverbs 28. The covering of sin, it's folly. It's absolute folly. "He that covereth his sins," listen, God Almighty is addressing you. "He or she that conceals their sins shall not prosper." Shall not prosper. God knows all about it. You need to grasp that. Dear sinner in this meeting, you need to grasp that one. God knows all about your sin. It's all before him. It's all going before his face. The folly of trying to cover sin before a God who sees all things. How can you cover your sin before whom all sin is committed? Oh, sinner, ask yourself the question tonight in this meeting. Where am I before God? You really need to ask that. The folly of concealing sin. The folly of covering it. I'm not asking you, does your husband know? I'm not asking you, do your friends know? Does your neighbors know about your sin? I'm telling you, God knows. All about your sin. All about every one of them. A lifetime of it. All the sins you have forgotten about. Understand this. They are all recorded in heaven against your name. That's what the Bible teaches. Every one of them. We'll see about that later. Sin. Transgression of the law. Transgression of the holy law of God, which is a mirror of God himself. That's what sin is. It's a transgression of God's law. Sin. Jeremiah 44, God says, "Do not that abominable thing that I hate, sin."
And God says, he that concealeth that thing that I hate shall not prosper. It's an attack upon his goodness. It's an attack upon his love. It's an attack upon his justice. It's an attack upon his holiness. It's an attack upon the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is what your sin is. And you really have got to let that start and sink into your heart. Forget about what the TV says sin is. Forget about what the internet says sin is. See what God says on it. It's an attack on the Godhead. And right now, as this meeting continues before God, multitudes of souls perish in hell for attacking the Godhead. For rebellion. For high treason. Because God said, whoso concealeth or covereth his sins shall not prosper. Solomon wrote this. What about his father David? Turn with me in your Bible, please. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 12. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. It's these days that we mourn over every time we read of David. But it's a warning to all. David, in those dark days when he fell, and he sought to conceal his sin, and he took Bathsheba, and she's with child, and he tries to cover it up, and he brings Uriah home, and when that doesn't work, he has Uriah murdered her husband. And he tries to conceal it. And months go by. But my friend, look at the words at the end of verse 27 of 2 Samuel 11. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It was all before God. It was all before God. And then the first verse of the next chapter, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Go to David. Oh, David. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The thing that David did displeased the Lord. Let me tell you, dear unsaved friend, your lifestyle displeases the Lord. It displeases the Lord. God is angry with the wicked every day. It's the same thought as last time, isn't it? Be sure. Your sin will find you out. Because the thing that sinners do displeases the Lord. And the Lord, as he did for David, he sent a preacher. And again tonight, sinner friend, in this meeting, and we are so glad you are here, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, but again, you have been sent a preacher tonight. He or she who covereth or concealeth their sins shall not prosper, says God Almighty. The folly of it. It's before God. Folly of all follies to conceal your sin. God knows all about it. It's all against him. It's all a violation of his love. It's an attack upon his person. Oh, sinner, see your state. I trust as this meeting continues, has begun to sink into your heart that you are in trouble with God. Because that is exactly what you are. Do you realize that? You're in trouble right at this moment. That fact could be proved this way. If you, and I say this nearly fearfully, if you were to die right now, the wrath of God would be unleashed against your eternal soul. And before anybody could do anything for you, you would be under the eternal, everlasting, unquenching, unquenchable wrath of an offended God at your life. That's who you are tonight. That's who you are before God. The history of it is as old as sin itself. The folly of it is against God, and He knows it. But what about the future of it? The future of it, because it has a future. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 20. Because the covering of sin has a future. And that future, my dear friend, is found at the great white throne of judgment. I want you to look there at Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And sinner, there's your life. There's your life. The books are opened. It's judgment day. It's the future of concealed sin. Oh, sinner friend, I want you to understand this. That's where concealed sin ends up. It ends up in the courts of heaven. It ends up in judgment day. As the Lord Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." It's the very doctrine that caused Felix to tremble. This doctrine of judgment day, when he would have to stand before God, and Felix and Paul's preaching to him, and he reasons with him of temperance and righteousness and judgment to come. My dear friends, see this. It caused Felix to tremble because he realized the day of accountability was on its way. And he couldn't get out of it. And Felix said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The very thought of concealed sin being accounted for. Oh, sinner friend, understand this. Sins of a lifetime revealed before God. There's its future. There's its future. Judgment day. The great white throne. Angels in attendance. Because the day of reaping the harvest always comes. The day of reaping the harvest, my friend, always comes. See that? It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. There's the future of concealed sin. But my friend, what about the end of concealed sin? What about the end of covered sin? Because it has an end. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Eternal death. It's the end of concealed sin. It's the end of covered sin. My dear friend, your sin is only going to land you in one place. Eternal death. Hell. That's where it's taking you. Swiftly down to destruction. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, why? Conceal sin. Never forsaken. Never confessed. Judas concealed his sin his whole life. He concealed his hatred of Jesus Christ. He concealed his rejection of Him. He concealed this desire within his soul never to have Him. And the night he left the communion table, And the Bible says he went out and it was night. And sinner, let those words, "it was night," send a chill down your spine, because that's exactly what they ought to do. It was night in the soul of Judas. And they went out into the darkness and the blackness of that night. And the Holy Ghost, through those words, is drawing to our attention the darkness. The darkness of rejection of Christ. And I tell you, sinner friend, Judas betrayed the innocent blood. And before that blood was shed, Judas's soul and the wail of it permeated hell, even before Christ was on the cross. There's the end of concealed sin. He that concealeth his sin, God says, shall not prosper. Is there any hope for you, sinner? Yeah. Read on with me in the text. But. Look at the little word, but. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Oh, sinner friend, you need to see that. Confession of sin. Repentance towards God. It's the very way of mercy. It's the very way of pardon. You need to see this on God's terms. You desperately need to see it tonight. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 55 also said this, "Let the wicked forsake his own way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Sinner friends, see this. There's mercy with the Lord. Confess it, forsake it. Confess it and forsake it. Sinner, we're on the subject tonight of your sin. But listen to me. I told you there a moment ago that Judas betrayed the innocent blood. And before Christ was on the cross, Judas had lost his soul. But listen, there was a cross. And there was a Christ who died on it. And there was precious blood shed. And sinner, it's precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And I don't care what your sin is. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. All sin. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall find mercy. Sinner friend, what are you going to do? Conceal sin? The way to hell. Just keep doing what you've always done. Just don't change a thing. Just keep going on, forgetting all about your sin. And sinner friend, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to perish. There's no two ways about that. But let me tell you something. I told you earlier there about David. In those dark days that he lived through. But after that, David penned the 32nd Psalm. And he said these marvelous words. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. Not covered by scheming and forgetting all about it, but covered with the blood of atonement. Covered in the blood of Christ. Young person, older person, there's the way to heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Sinners, see it. The blood has been shed. The question is this. All things are ready for the sinner. Mercy's promised. Pardon's assured. But sinner, you've got to come. You've got to come to Him. Oh, sinner, how will you die? How will you die? We've concealed sin. Never repented of. Never forsaken. Or will you die in Christ? Washed. Forgiven. Pardoned. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, sinner, they will be as wool. No ifs, no buts in that one either. No two ways about it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all of your sin. How will you die? That's some question. How will you die? There's only two ways. In Christ or out of Christ. Sin covered or concealed by your own schemes, or sin covered by the blood of Christ. Young and old, how are you going to die? Are you going to die in Christ? Are you going to die out of Christ? Because you're going to die one of those ways. I told you this before, Henry Francis Light. The man that wrote that great hymn, Abide With Me, he preached his final sermon on the 5th of September, 1847. He knew that for him life was ebbing away. After preaching his final sermon, he went out and sat down on a cliff 8 weeks before he died. He was meditating upon that text in Luke's Gospel, Abide with us for the night is far spent. And he watched the sun go down over Dartmoor in England, knowing that the sun was going down in his own life. His days on this side of the divide were drawing to a close. And he penned, Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. Pen this, swift to its close, sinner. Ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, their glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Sinner, let me ask you again, how are you going to die? Can you say with Henry Francis Light, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks, earth's faint shadows flee. in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Is that how you're going to die? I pray to God it is. In Christ, washed, cleansed, forgiven. Oh, may God give you grace to come. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. While all the Lord's people are praying, maybe there's one in this meeting. You've been troubled about your soul for some time. Sinner, is it not time to come to Christ? Is it not time to be saved? Is it not time to put things right? Sinner, come to Christ. If I can be of help to you or any of the elders here, you make that known as you leave. Speak to us at the door. Be our joy to sit down with you and point you to Christ. Even there now, right now, in the quietness of your own soul, in this very meeting, lift your heart heavenward. Call upon the Lord. Seek Him with all your heart. And He'll save you even tonight. Save you right now where you are. In a moment you'll know the joy of sins forgiven. Peace with God through the blood of the cross. Father in heaven, take thy word. Bless it to every heart. Glorify thy Son. Save the lost. God and Father of our Lord Jesus, may all in this meeting die in Christ and pass from this world into that everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. Hear prayer. Amen.